Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all this morning. The rain is finally here. But you all made it, so that's good. Our passage today is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21 and 27 to 30. We read last week of a man who had been blind from birth, contrasted with other people who claimed to be able to see, but we soon discovered that the one who was blind could in fact see, and the ones who could see were in fact blind. The blind man, even though he viewed the world with darkness, was able to recognize light, the light of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ and the miracle that was performed, he was given his sight, and he was able to look upon the creation and the one who created it, Jesus Christ. Then we heard of the wonderful words of this man, where there was no need to complicate or overanalyze what had just happened. He simply said, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." In our passage today, we get an idea of what our passage is about by the repetition of many words and the many occurrences of different words. The word "listen," for example, is mentioned three times, "follow" three times, "door" three times, "enter" three times, "life" three times, "father" four times, "I am" four times, "voice" four times, "lay down" five times, "shepherd" six times, "to know" seven times, and "sheep" 14 times. So today we're going to talk about sheep. Okay, and because sheep have a tendency to wander off when not looked after, they often end up in a situation that leads to danger and can cause them harm, even death. They tend to follow each other, like the blind leading the blind. We will discover in this passage that we know sheep quite well, because we aren't that much different from sheep. And we will discover, because we aren't that much different from sheep, we need a good shepherd to lead us. We all have a shepherd of some kind, and we all listen to different voices from different shepherds. Who is your shepherd? Do you know the difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd? Which voices do you respond to in life? And who or what do you look to guide you through life? I'll invite Diego up to bring us our scripture reading today, which I closed.
Our gospel reading for today comes from John 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeepers open, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own, sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Diego. So our 3 points this morning are Jesus leads his sheep, Jesus defends his sheep, and Jesus dies for his sheep. When you hear a passage beginning with the words, truly, truly, I say to you, it's time to listen. In the opening verses, we have Jesus, the Pharisees, a gatekeeper, some sheep, and a sheepfold. A sheepfold is an area where sheep are kept. In this context, it's probably an enclosure within a town or a cave of some kind that has walls around it or a fence made up of branches. The entrance and the exit of the sheepfold would be a door. The text tells us that only the shepherd would be given access by permission of the gatekeeper to enter into where the sheep were kept. If someone was not the shepherd of those sheep and he wanted to get into the sheepfold, they would need to find another way in. If that person didn't have permission to enter through the door, then they probably had no good reason to be there. So the text tells us that they are thieves and robbers. During this period, shepherds knew their sheep, and sheep knew their shepherds. If you have ever been around sheep, you know that they're easily frightened and they run off. But during this time, which I didn't know until this week, shepherds often called their sheep by name, sang songs to them, and even played a familiar tune to them on a flute. When they heard their shepherd's voice, they knew that they were safe, and they became calm. If there were many flocks mixed together from different shepherds, they would recognize the voice of their own shepherd and go to him. The shepherd knew his sheep, and the sheep knew and responded to their shepherd. They responded by going towards him, and he led them to where he wanted them to go. A good shepherd will lead his sheep rather than drive them. He will stand at the front, and the sheep will willingly follow, rather than being driven from the back, causing fear, resulting in the sheep being scattered in all directions. We see the effects of this in the book of Ezekiel, when the sheep are scattered because they have a poor shepherd, or poor shepherds. Rather than protect the sheep and lead them to safety, the shepherds abandoned their sheep in order to take care of themselves. The sheep were left on their own. They were scattered and they wandered around the hills without a shepherd, where they became food for wild animals. This is a haunting scenario. It gives us a vision of what we will go through if we wander from the flock into the wilderness, or worse, the shepherds of the church fail to look after their flock. Back when I was a child in the late 70s and early 80s, I spent most of my time from morning until evening running around the woods and the hills of my local area in Scotland. A time before home computers and games consoles, when children were trusted to go out by themselves on bikes, go fishing by themselves, play with fire, carry a knife, and on occasion shoot things with air rifles. Where I lived, there was a range of hills that went from my county of Clackmannanshire all the way up to a county of Perthshire. And if I walked out of my front door, straight in front of me was a hill that went up 1,263.1 feet. A lot of research goes into these sermons. 385 metres at like 70 degree angle. I spent a lot of time wandering around these hills, and during that time, I spent a lot of time looking at sheep. As I was wandering around, I sometimes see sheep just eating grass quite happily. Other times I would come across dead sheep. Some probably died naturally, but for others, they were clearly killed by a predator, and now they were gradually being devoured by crows. Now and again, I would come across bones or even a skull, and once I came across a row of foxes' tails on a fence, all victim to the farmer's shotgun. Some sheep would fall to their death in the glens between the hills, landing in the river or stream below, which I would soon later discover after drinking the water further downstream. The point is, sheep are defenceless animals that are open to the elements and all sorts of danger. Sheep are also not the brightest animals, and because of their herd mentality, they often find themselves in situations that cause further endangerment. One sheep gets scared and runs off, and all the rest follow, thinking this one must know where he is going until it's too late. We see examples of herd mentality all the time in the world. The rise and fall of different ideas and movements where one person quickly gathers a loyal following. Some take off and others die. We often see this during protests and riots. Like the one sheep who runs off in a certain direction, all the rest follow. Often people who are protesting have no idea why they're protesting. I find it hilarious when some guy from YouTube, who also encourages herd mentality, walks up to a protester to ask why they're protesting, only to discover they have no idea why they're there. They're passionate and they have been out protesting all day. And when asked to explain the cause they're protesting for, often they have no idea what they're protesting about. The only thing that qualifies them to be there is that they're students with more free time than most. And as students, they feel the need to protest about everything. They're doing it because everyone else is doing it. They're doing it because it makes them feel like they're part of something. And because they want to be a part of something, they're willing to follow the crowd. And we see examples of this all the time in Scripture. You remember the story of Paul in Ephesus, when the whole city rose up in massive confusion. In Acts 19 it says, "Now some cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together." We are no different, I am no different, and you are no different. We may not be running around the streets protesting with banners, but we all have the tendency to fall into a herd mentality. Why is that? It's because we are all sheep. Think about your life right now, or think back over your life up to this point and all the dumb decisions that you have made over your life. Chances are you made those decisions because you were influenced by someone or something else. We all need to be part of something bigger, where we feel we belong. We don't want to wander around by ourselves. We spend our whole lives worrying about what people think of us, and we spend much of that time responding to that in some form or another, whether it be mentally, emotionally, or physically. Being a slave to the constant task of trying to please people is tiring and harmful. You do not need to look for constant affirmation from others, to decide if you're successful or a failure. You do not need to be a slave to the desires of those who want to drive you in one direction, a slave to the rod of another sinner when you are trying to control your own sin. Sinners leading sinners, one blind person leading another blind person, neither know where they are going, and both fall into the pit. Like a sheep that follows another sheep, one will lead the other to destruction. Instead of trying to be people pleasers, let us use that energy in trying to please God. The Bible tells us, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord and you won't go far wrong. The world is full of lost sheep who are wandering around looking for happiness and contentment, looking for a way that leads to hope, where the constant reminder of death isn't the end. In a world where everything is being cancelled and truth is being questioned, changed, or erased, to many there is no hope in this fallen world. But there is hope. Are you wandering around the hills like a sheep without a shepherd this morning? Are you constantly looking for someone influential that you can latch onto in the hope that they will show you the way? A way that often leads to nowhere but darkness and destruction. Where? Like sheep in the hills of Scotland or in the book of Ezekiel, fall to their death because they are without a shepherd. We all need a shepherd, but often the shepherd we choose ends up leading us astray. One thing that I find interesting, fascinating in the scripture is God doesn't always choose the rich, the influential, and the powerful to do his work. Those that we often think have all the gifts and the talents and the backing to fulfill God's mission. Surely these people have what it takes. But what we often see is that God calls those we least expect. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all shepherds of animals before they were shepherds of God's people. They were great men and God did amazing things through them. But as men, they had their failures. These men also needed a shepherd to guide them and lead them. We all need a shepherd. In verse 7, Jesus takes us a little deeper and tells us who the shepherd is. The door that he was talking about earlier, he is that door. He's telling his audience to listen. Listen, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He said, listen, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We hear two of the seven I am statements in the book of John. He says in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Today in chapter 10, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. In chapter 12, I am the resurrection and the life. In 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in 15, I am the vine. These words may be familiar to you from the book of Exodus. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moses was sent to lead his people out of bondage and lead them to safety. Jesus is telling his listeners that he and the Father are one. He is divine. Jesus has come to be the door for his sheep and be their good shepherd and to lead them. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is not like other shepherds because he is the good shepherd. And that word good makes all the difference. The good shepherd is God, and God doesn't leave his people. He doesn't run off when danger arrives, but he stands with his sheep and defends them at all costs and leads them to safety. So the second point, Jesus defends his sheep. So we are all like sheep in some way. We all have a tendency to run off. The only difference between us all is who we see as a shepherd. The good shepherd only defends his sheep from those who want to do them harm, but from their own stupidity that often leads to self-harm. The passage tells us that some acting as shepherds are not shepherds. Verses 12 and 13 says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The so-called shepherd is not willing to put his life down for the sheep, and as they wander aimlessly, they fall victim to the prowling wolf that encircles them, looking for the weak one that wanders off from the flock. This hired hand doesn't know his sheep and doesn't care for those he doesn't know. But the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, so much so that he's willing to lay his life down for his sheep in order to defend them. When the wolf is prowling around, the good shepherd is on guard and with his rod in his hand to fight away anything that comes near his beloved sheep. So ask the question again, who is your shepherd? Is he the good shepherd? Is he willing to lay his life down for you, or is he going to abandon you? Perhaps today you're not in the good shepherd's flock where you're protected, but you've drifted off away from the flock. Perhaps you feel there's something in your life that is more influential with the promise of better things. Perhaps you've followed a voice that's taken you to a place you didn't want to go, but now you feel it's too late. You and I have both been there. We've all followed something that sounds promising, fun and exciting, something that promises a little taste of what we most desire, something that will take the monotony out of the grind of everyday life, something that promises a little window into a world that feeds our passions, our desires and our lusts, like a drug that gives us a taste of the greatest euphoria that we'll ever or will experience in this physical world. As we grow ever fonder of that experience, the joys that we didn't notice because we were too blind snap shut and the poison is released. What seems like a beautiful light morphs into darkness. Although the grass always seems greener in the other field, you have to walk past the protective fence to find it, only to discover that the lush grass that seems so inviting doesn't last forever. But there is hope. Jesus tells us a parable of the lost sheep. In Luke 15, it says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he have lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Like the parable of the lost son in the same chapter, who left his home and family thinking that the grass was greener on the other side, soon discovered that when all the things that had offered him pleasure came to an end, the only place he could return to was the loving embrace of his father. A father who every morning probably looked over the fields or down the road, hoping that it would be the day when his beloved son would return. Let us not fall into the illusion that because something is fun and harmless, we're all safe. When we least expect it, when we drop our guard, when things seem to be going well, before we know it, sin is waiting at the door, biding its time until our weaknesses, insecurities, and lustful desires eventually get the better of us and drag us back into a life of sin. How many of you have doubted your own salvation when you've fallen into sin? Who of you today is doubting that right now? Your sin is so shameful and ugly, you dare not let anyone know about it. That feeling of shame keeps you in chains. It's the yoke of slavery. When you're in this state, Satan has the upper hand. He wants nothing better than to keep you in the chains of slavery and guilt and misery, convincing you that the Father in heaven has washed his hands of you and wants nothing more to do with you. We then burden ourselves further by spending our time in endless toil of work, trying to gain favour with God, because we are so full of shame and guilt. But don't despair, there is hope. Chapter 10, verse 27 and 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We need to go back to chapter 6 to give a deeper understanding to this. And it says in verse 37 and 14, chapter 6, "Oh, that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." We're all in danger of being slaves to something or someone, but better to be the slave of the Good Shepherd, who tells us, "Come to me, all who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." No matter how much you have sinned, and no matter how far you have fallen, you're not a lost cause. Take that shame and despair and use it to drive you to the only thing you have left in life, the giver of life and the sustainer of life. The only one who can truly take your burdens from you and do it with both gentleness and love. What kind of shepherd would Jesus be if he lost his sheep and allowed them to be devoured by wolves? What kind of God would God be if he let Satan win the battle? A God that doesn't have control over his own creation isn't God. When Jesus has hold of us, we will never be snatched out of his hands, and we will never perish. What we do and what we don't do does not earn us salvation. We're not saved by our works. It is by grace of God that we are saved. Ephesians tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." But like sheep, we wander off and are stubborn. We also wander off, and at times, in order for us to be brought back into the sheepfold, we need the Lord to discipline us. The rod that he carries isn't like the rod that the robbers and thieves carry to kill and destroy, but a rod that pulls us back with love so that we can go back to his loving embrace. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Like a father who disciplines his child, that discipline is done with love for our own good and benefit. The thief and the robbers come to steal and destroy, but the Good Shepherd comes to give abundant life. So Jesus dies for his sheep. That abundant life can only come through the death of another. The Good Shepherd came to lay down his life for his sheep. By his voice he gathers his flock, both Jews and Gentiles, and gives them life. One flock and one shepherd. The Bible is full of paradoxes, and there's a short prayer in a book called The Valley of Vision, and it says it well, so let me just read this short prayer to you. It says, "Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the valley of vision, where I live in the depths, but see thee in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit as a rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is a victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, thy glory in my valley. Perhaps the greatest paradox is that life can come from death. In our natural state, our lives inevitably lead to death, both physically and spiritually. For those that don't hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, they will inevitably wander off into the abyss and be lost forever. In order to save the flock, an innocent lamb had to die. Sheep were used in the temple sacrifices for the sins of the people, but these sacrifices were never sufficient, so God had to send another sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, one that, once performed, would cover the sin of the world, my sin and your sin. A pure and spotless animal in the form of a lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus Christ, who went to the cross as an innocent lamb, shedding his own blood, that through his death all those who believe in him might live. False shepherds bring death and destruction, but the Good Shepherd, he will make us lie down in green pastures and lead us beside still water. He will restore our souls and lead us to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As you leave here today, many voices will be fighting for your attention, but there is only one voice you should listen to. God gave us ears to hear, and they should be used to listen to his voice and what he has to say. So let's not be consumed by things that block out the Lord, what the Lord has to say, but always be attentive to the Good Shepherd's voice when he's calling to lead us home. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we give thanks. We give thanks for your word. We give thanks, Father, that even though we often walk through life as blind, defenseless sheep, your Son came to be the door and the Good Shepherd. We give thanks for his sacrifice on the cross, that as he went there as the lamb, he shed his own blood for us, that as sheep, you always look after us and you will never let us perish. So you take us home one day so we can live with you for eternal life. We pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand. Let us sing together.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is soft and cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.